Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And let's ask the question, God judges all nations. How does he do it? Very few people really understand very much about what is called the Old Testament. And that's because they don't understand things in the New Testament. So let's come to John, the first chapter, and the first verse, so that you will realize when we read some of these other scriptures in what is called the Old Testament, that it is the one who became Jesus Christ. Very few understand that. But there it is, plain and simple, John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, and that's the one who became Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, how powerful was he? And also, by the way, this shows there's only two, not three gods. So if you don't have our information on the Trinity, then you better write for it, because we'll get it to you, because you need to understand that that's another fantasy of the Christianity of this world. He was in the beginning with God. Now notice verse 3, how important this is. All things, might want to circle all things came into being through him. So some of you out there who believe in evolution, which is a false thing from Charles Darwin, notice this. Not even one thing that was created came into being without him. Now, is that hard to understand? No. It's very simple. But how many people believe it and realize the implications of all of it? Let's come back here to Isaiah 40. Let's see what the one who became Jesus Christ, who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, let's see what he said concerning himself and what he does. And all of the wise men of the world and all of the things that they have cannot compare to God at all. Isaiah 40 and verse 25. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? That's the one who became Jesus Christ. So to show you the power and might that God has, he wants you to see what he has created. Because as we saw, everything came through Christ. And this is the one who became Christ who is speaking here. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who has created these things? You get some good pictures of the universe. Go online and look them up and see the stars and the galaxies and all of the things associated with that and the vast reaches of the universe. Jesus Christ is the one who made it. He created it. He is Lord. He is God. He is our Savior. He is our sacrifice. And we're going to see God judges the nations. But I want you to understand who it is and how he does it. Notice what he says concerning the stars, who brings out their host by number. Every single star galaxy is numbered. Think of that. So is every human being, with the DNA that each one has, which is different from any other person. Now, how's that for a creation beyond our understanding. He calls them all by names, not only numbered but named, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, and not one fails. No, it's all exactly as God put it out there. So think about that now. If you think you know something about Jesus Christ because you go to Sunday school, or you go to a Sunday-keeping church, or you read a little bit in the Bible, you need to get into the Bible and understand this. Very important, because I'll bring it up later. You cannot have God and Sunday keeping, period. It just won't work, because God is not there on Sunday. So then he says this up here in verse 21. Let's see what God challenges all men to do, all scientists and the top echelon of thinkers and philosophers and biologists and chemists and geologists, all of the great minds of the world. And they believe the biggest lie of evolution. Think of that. How's that for being really smart? Not too good. Here's the challenge from God. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Now notice what he says next. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and the people are like grasshoppers. So God is not way off someplace. His throne is much closer to the earth than you have imagined. And God is active in the world today. And you need to know how. And you need to know what's going to happen. And you need to understand how God is judging nations and individuals. So I want you also, as we look to see how God judges the nations, I want you to look at your own life in the same light. Do you love God and keep his commandments? I mean, really, all 10, the way they're written, the way God gave them, right out of his own mouth, his own words, not the way some men like to interpret it. Notice, it is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. So you look at the universe again and think about the power that God has. And spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Now notice what he says concerning the rulers of the earth. And if you have any sense of history or have studied history and you look at the rise and fall of nations, and you see how everything comes. God knows all about it. And God is behind a lot of it and does it. Who brings the rulers to nothing. Well, think on that. Even the greatest rulers on the earth before God, without God, are nothing. Now that's pretty powerful, don't you think? He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. And isn't that the way all the laws of men turn out to be? Nothing but vanity. See, here at church at home, we want everyone to learn the truth of God. We want everyone to understand that God loves you and cares for you and wants you. But you have got to come to him on his terms, in his way, because God is judging. And that judging is going on all the time. Let's see what else he says. To show his great power, show his great understanding, and to show a very important point every person needs to know, especially those who profess to be teaching Christianity. Verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? How much do you know? How much do the experts know? Huh? And meted out the heavens with a span, who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance? You see some of these pictures showing the mountains, and I love the ones where they show the mountains that are thrust up, and it comes up at the top of it just like a razor, right along the top of it. And you know that God moved those mountains to make them and put them there. They didn't just happen. There is no such a thing as spontaneous evolution. Had never occurred. Now notice this, and this is a great mistake of a lot of people. Almost everyone. Because they ignore God. They reject God. They're too interested in their own things, their own pleasures, their own businesses, their own theories, and everything that they are doing. And yet, it's amazing. They all have an opinion about God.
Do you believe in God?
Me?
Creator?
The more I look at the universe, just the less convinced I am that there is something benevolent going on. So if your concept of a creator is someone who's all-powerful and all-good, and I look at disasters that afflict Earth and life on Earth, volcanoes, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, disease, pestilence, congenital birth defects. You look at this list of ways that life is made miserable on Earth by natural causes. And I just ask, how do you deal with that? So philosophers rose up and said, if there is a God, God is either not all-powerful or not all-good. I have no problems if, as we probe the origins of things, we bump up into the bearded man. If that shows up, we're good to go. Okay? Not a problem. There's just no evidence of it.
They all have an opinion about God, or don't believe in God, or don't want to believe in God. And why is that? Because, as the Bible says, they don't want their deeds exposed for what they really are. And they don't want to acknowledge the evil of their own thoughts that they have here, that they don't reveal overtly to other people. But they come out from time to time, and then you know the truth about that person. Notice, verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, and who was his counselor, that he might instruct him? Well, of course, if God is over everything, made us, created us, and gave us our minds, our abilities, and everything, how can we instruct God? Now you think, well, no, we can't do that. However, almost all the Christian leaders of the world do that very thing. They come to God and say, well, we don't like this commandment, or we don't like that commandment, and we declare your law void. Huh? You think that's going to stand? I suggest you look around your own life and where you live and what you see going on in the world. And the result of that is because men have tried to instruct God, and God will not be instructed by any man. Since God is perfect and God is righteous and God is holy, can any man think of anything, do anything, proclaim anything, work up a doctrine concerning anything that is greater than what God has revealed in His Word? Well, you say, well, of course not. Huh. Why then do they reject the Sabbath commandment and keep Sunday and say they're delivered to do it? Why then do they believe in a Trinity when it's not in the Bible? Why then do they say that the God of the Old Testament is the old harsh God and the God of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, He's loving and kind? False. False. And God is judging us right now because of those very things. And it's saturated in every fabric of life in America today. Now let's look at an example that God is greatly in touch with things that go on. Let's come back here to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, here's a very interesting account. The Lord God and two angels came to Abraham, and that's when they told Sarah that she was going to conceive and have Isaac. So let's pick it up here, Genesis 18 and verse 17. Let's see what God said. Let's see how God looks at the world by looking at how He viewed Sodom and Gomorrah before He destroyed it. So we need to understand, whenever there is gross sin, God knows, and He judges people, communities, states, provinces, nations, leaders, all get judgment from God. Verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now think about the blessing that comes upon Abraham because of that. And that is so far-reaching that that would take a half a dozen segments of Church at Home to go through it in detail. For I know him. Interesting question. Does God know you? He can know anything about you at any time because He created all of us with something that He calls the reins. So He can know our thoughts. He can know our intentions. He can know whatever we're doing at any time He wants to. Verse 19, for I know Him that He will command His children and His house after Him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which He has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, because of all of their perversion with homosexuality, bestiality, and all kinds of sexual perversions, is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Now notice, God doesn't go down and do these things until He knows for sure. Makes you wonder how many times God visited things during our lifetime during World War I, World War II, huh? You know He did. Verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Now then, see, God is going to judge righteously. That's quite a thing. He knows. He knows the thoughts of men and women. He knows the thoughts of rulers. And He judges. Think about what's going on in the world today. I don't care where you look at in the world, there is judgment of God going on in every nation of this world because of the sins that are abounding there. And remember that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So God has His seven eyes and His seven angels, and they're out there seeing what's going on in the world. And they're looking at it. all the lying, all the cheating, all the sin, all the drugs, all of the evil that goes on every single day and night everywhere in the world. Did you know that from South Korea, 2 to 3 million women are sold into sex slavery into America? What does that say about the morals of the Koreans and the Americans? They're greedy for money, lustful for things that they should not have. And they own and control these women like they are robots. And they ruin and destroy their lives and care not one whit for them, because their bosses or owners or rulers who live in Korea do not care for them. But just to use their bodies as sex machines to make money. And that's just in America. In South Korea, they're called sex workers. Same way in Thailand. Anywhere you want to go on earth. Look at all the drugs, the corruption of it. I challenge you to watch To Catch a Smuggler on Nat Geo and watch the evil and corruption that goes on. And know this, God knows it all. And all the evil you see in America, in the government, in the lives of people, in the education, regardless of where it is, whether it's kindergarten or graduate school, nothing but filled with lies and deceit and rejection of God. And God's judgment is coming because of it. What do you think about the crises we had in the cities this past summer? Huh? Burn down the cities. Defund the police. Why do these things come upon us? Those are punishments from God for rejecting Him and His law and His commandment and His rule. And that's why it's coming. You can have all of these political things that are talked about, like Mark Levin and American Marxism. Yes, all of the political things need to be done, but there is no call for repentance. So I'm going to call for repentance. President, all of his advisors, cabinet people, all the Senate, all the legislature, every governor in America, all the legislatures in America, all the teachers, all the schools, all the establishments, they need to come to God and repent. Because if you don't repent, the judgment of God is going to come, which is going to make the bombing of Germany look like child's play. Because God means business. That's what it has to be. Where are those who are going to stand for the truth, stand for righteousness, cry out because of the sins? Huh? Now, there's some in Protestantism doing it, but they fail to repent of their Sunday keeping and their holidays, and those are an affront to God. Smoke up his nostrils. They reject his Sabbath, which is truth, and his holy days, which he designed and made possible so we can know what God is doing. But now is the time for people to quit playing patty cake with life and start getting deadly serious. Get on your knees, fast and pray, confess your sins, the sins of those around you, and help try and establish some kind of decency in America. And all of you atheists and all of you God-haters, God is going to judge, and your day is going to come, and you're going to rue the day that you ever hated God. These things are going to come. And God is going to send his representatives from heaven to his angels and watchers to see what is going on. The next most important thing they need to do, and this goes to the heart of the women's movement, there are 63 million aborted, killed babies by abortion. And women are gleeful and glad over their murders and over their killing of their own children. And unless there's deep repentance over that with all women and all men involved, and one of the biggest things that needs to be done is that every Planned Parenthood and or abortion clinic needs to be shut down and destroyed. Because if it is not, the immigration flood that we're experiencing today will look like kindergarten compared to what it will be, because God will send an immigrant to replace every little child in the womb that you women have killed, your own flesh and blood. What's going to happen? Will there be people really repent? Will these institutions repent? No, of course not. They will look at messages like mine and they will say, oh, well, that's a crazy nut. Well, that's what they said to Jeremiah. That's what they said to Isaiah. That's what they said to Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ said that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And it was. The second time in 70 AD. And Judaism to this day does not understand that God sent the Romans to do it. Because they rejected him, the very only begotten Son of God. They have not yet recognized or repented of their sins. They only blame the enemy. They need to blame themselves and their own sins and their own unrighteousness. We're in terrible and desperate times, and we need to have people come to knowledge and understanding what they need to do. And that's what we're doing at Church at Home. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Get our book, Lord, What Should I Do?, our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, our booklet, Sabbath Sunday Controversy, and our booklet, Why Christianity is Failing in America. Because they are inept, and they are against God, though they preach the name of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Till next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.